In case you don't know, now that orphanage has gone from 250 to 500 children because children are dropped off in a country where you're not allowed to have but one child. Children with handicaps are dropped off, and now this place has. They couldn't afford to take care of 250 children. They couldn't do medical treatment necessary and other things. Now there are 500 of those children, just like Maya, in that place. And so these guys are starting a nonprofit to try to get awareness out and get families like you to bring those children into places of safety and love, to create that safe place to raise them up. And look, we're in the middle of raising money for a building. We need every dime we can possibly get. It's huge what we're trying to do. But I'd say this, if anybody here has a heart and a passion for this, I want you to connect with Brandon and Misty, because for about $50,000, they could go full-time into sharing this ministry and start raising up families to bring these children into forever homes. And so I really want you to pray about that. And if that's where God leads you to give your resources, then I would encourage you toward it. Now listen, here's the thing. When it comes to providing the safe place, God sees it so important. I just want you to know, God doesn't want one child anywhere on the planet not to have a safe place in which to be grown up into maturity and to be cared for. And that's not just a safe place physically. That's a safe place emotionally and a safe place spiritually. And God is passionate about it. And you see that in his passion for little children. He says, you do something harmful to a little child, you'd be better off to have a millstone tied around your neck, thrown into the heart of the sea. And so he puts it in the hearts of moms and dads to be like this mom in Proverbs 31, that she gave herself fully to one thing, and that was, I'm going to make that place for my family. And so she worked inside of the home and outside of the home. She worked at night. She worked in the morning. She devoted herself to bringing wisdom into that home, to bringing love into that home, to bringing what was necessary physically into that home, whatever it took to create that place. It says she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. How many moms are there? Would moms stand up real quick? Any moms up here? Watch mom stand up. Now let's give them what they deserve. Can we do that right now? Thank you, moms. And y'all can be seated. But here's the thing, is that the whole idea of making this place, we used to call it homemakers. Have y'all ever heard that expression? Somebody's making a home, more than just a place, but bringing an environment in which there's love and there's support and there's strength. There used to be a whole category of folks called homemakers. And now that has been lost to a large extent. In fact, if you look on the internet and you look up homemakers under Urban Dictionary, the preferred definition right now is one that's negative. It even says, well, it's a woman who hasn't got any hobbies and anything else to do, so she bugs her children to death. Isn't that sad? Because the reality is that we have perfected the art of home building while losing the art of homemaking. And reality in our context is it's all about the stuff and the things. And everybody's goal is, I want to grow up and I want to live in a house that looks like this. And so you got these goals. I mean, we have become obsessed with the nest. You know what I'm saying? And so everybody wants the coolest nest and the prettiest nest. And, you know, you watch Cribs on television and you see these mansions and you say, hey, man, it's all about having that right place. And that's what I want to grow up to be. That's what I want to grow up to do. We get obsessed with the nest and fail to recognize that what really matters is not home building, but home making. Actually creating that environment in which there can be love and caring. And so Solomon, wisest man on the planet, who had everything he could possibly have physically, said this: better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Better a meal of vegetables where there's love than a fattened calf with hatred. If you get obsessed with the nest, if it's all about building houses instead of homemaking, you know? So here's the thing. The importance cannot be overemphasized, how significant that work is. And whoever you are here, just remember this truth. Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He was homeless, and yet he was able to provide the most beautiful home for those disciples who followed him and went with him. Even though they were using borrowed places to stay, he provided in relationship what it was that God would have us to provide. So the place, it's in the nest, but the safety is in the relationships. And I just really want to emphasize here, why are we saying this? We're saying this because it's so important for us to understand that we've gotten our values all kind of whacked up, and we've lost the art of homemaking and the value of homemaking. It's one of the most important things in the heart of God to provide that safe place. And so, Jesus said it this way to the people in Jerusalem, "How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." Here's a picture of home. And I love that. I just love that. It's just like God saying, I want you to provide that safe place, and that safe place is a safe place in relationship. Isn't that beautiful? And God saying, that's a picture. That's the picture He wanted us to have of what it means to have home. I was talking with a young mother just this past week, and she's got three toddler-age children in her home at the same time. Most difficult thing you can possibly imagine doing. And she's devoted herself to homemaking. And I told her, I said, look, there is no job on the planet that you could do that would be more challenging than what you're doing right now. You could be, you know, a Top Gun pilot, or you could be the president of a major corporation. You could do anything, but there's nothing that's going to put a challenge on you more than this. It takes more self-discipline, more self-initiative, more wisdom, more organizational skill, more everything to actually do that job well. It's a huge job, but it's the most important. And I told her, I said, there's nothing else that you could do that would be more important than this. I've got a friend who's a stay-at-home dad. And I told him, I said, look, man, I don't care what you might do. He could have been a professional athlete. He could have been, again, head of a major corporation. He could have owned his own business and made millions. But there is nothing he'll do more important than making that home that he's making where he is. And so what I'm pausing to say here is this, is that God's just saying to us, this is huge, guys. As we celebrate Mother's Day today, I want you to know, I think God wants us to know that the importance of providing a safe place in which to bring young to life and raise them up to maturity, to have that place is one of the greatest works ever being done anywhere on the planet, and we have a responsibility for it. We have a responsibility for it for our own children. We also have responsibility for it for children who don't have a place to be. And so it's interesting that whenever James talks about real pure religion, about what it means to truly be a godly person and a follower of Jesus Christ, he mentioned taking care of orphans. There's a need for us to actually care for those, and not only care for them, but care for families who are caring for little ones. It's a huge responsibility that we have. And so listen to this. What God would want to say to you, if you're one of those people, if you're one of those like that young mom that I was talking about, or you're a young dad that's really putting out your energy to make that happen. Or maybe you haven't been. Maybe you've been obsessed with the nest and God's calling you to actually put the emphasis where it needs to be. Maybe you're a person who's not a mother or a father of your own children. Like one of the greatest moms in this place that I know is a woman who never had children. She's awesome. She was a principal in schools for her entire career, and she knew every child by name. And God used her to bring that safe place to so many kids who didn't have it. And she turned her environment, that school, into a place that was a safe place for kids to mature. But everybody get the picture. It's important. But here's what God wants you to know, is He's saying, I will be there for you as you are there for them. Let me say it one more time. He's saying, I will be there for you as you are there for them. I want to come to you. So listen, He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young. Don't you get that picture? He's saying, look, I gather the lambs in my arms. I carry them close to my heart. He loves His children. He cares deeply for them, and He calls them into family and into relationship, but He also gently leads those that have young. And so when I think about this awesome young lady and I think about her desire to provide Isaiah a home, God's saying, baby, you provide Isaiah a home, and I'm going to be there gently guiding you. I'm going to be there by your side. I'm going to be strengthening you and giving you wisdom and helping you to be able to be for Isaiah what you need to be, because I'm going to be for you what you need. Well, you think about somebody like Andrea, and Andrea has awesome mom and you know, awesome family. And so you may think to yourself, well, hey, I'm never going to be that person. The reason my family's messed up is my dad was messed up, my mom was messed up, you know, my home was messed up. Some of you have great homes you grew up in. You might have a home like, I was so proud of my wife, Julie. She's a great mom. She's devoted her whole life to nothing but that. And my youngest son said to her one time, he said, don't you ever sell this house, you know? And he said, if you get ready to sell the house, just hang on to it until I make enough money to buy it myself, because I want this house, right? And those of you who grew up with love in your homes kind of know how it is. It's like you've got this home, and it's like, I don't ever want to lose that. It's this safe place, and what was in it made me want that. But some of you also know what it's like to be in a family like that of Jenny in the movie Forrest Gump. Do y'all remember the movie Forrest Gump? And you remember Jenny had been abused terribly in her home while she was growing up. And on one of her walks with Forrest one day, they walked by that old house. And as she saw the house, she just began to get just rage and tears. And she started picking up rocks and throwing them at the house. And she was breaking the windows out of the house. And after she got exhausted, pouring out her anger on the house, she just fell down into the dust. And Forrest walked over and in that precious way just sat down beside her and said, "Sometimes I guess there just aren't enough rocks." And the truth is for you, it may be there just aren't enough rocks. There aren't enough rocks I'll never be able to get over that, what was done to me, and what my home life was like. But here's what God wants you to know. He says, I don't care what your home life was like. What I want to do is I want to provide for you that picture of those chicks nestled up under the wings. I want to be for you a father to the fatherless. I want to be to you like a mama for those who didn't have that in your life. Listen to the way he said it. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He's saying, I want to just adopt you. Just like Brandon and Misty adopted Maya and brought her into family, brought her into relationship. God's saying, look, I want to make you my child. But not only this, y'all, please hear this. He doesn't just bring you into relationship so that you come into relationship with a father, but he also brings you into a family surrounded by people who love you, with brothers and sisters. Now, let me pause here and say, brothers and sisters, how many people have brothers and sisters? Are they perfect? How many people have ever wanted to hit your brother or sister, honestly? Thank you. So, when I say surrounded by brothers and sisters, I mean brothers and sisters. I mean brothers and sisters. I mean family with real problems and real stuff, but brings you into family, to real family. And he's saying, that's what I want for you, is to be able to come into family. And it's a place with love, it's a place of struggle, it's a place of beauty, but that's what he provides for us. And so he says this, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. It says that God sets the lonely in families. God's saying, I just want to provide that place for you. And so guys, here's the thing. God's saying it's so important that there be a safe place, and that safe place, ultimately his church, this gathering of people for a purpose, becomes family. And it becomes family for people who don't have family. There was a young lady that was just saying this past week, she said, you know, my parents, she had a horrible, horrible growing up life. She shared it with me and it just broke my heart. But she said, you know, I've come into this family, and she said, I've got all these mamas in this church that love me where my mama didn't love me. And she said, and I've even got daddies in this church that show me love, but I've ultimately got a father in heaven who loves me ultimately. And so here's the thing. God says, I want to set you into family. But I also, please hear this, I also want you to see the importance that you as a family have to provide family for others. So he wants to set you in family. He wants to give you that nest, but he also wants you to recognize our responsibility together to provide that place, that safe place for others. And so we were in the Unite meeting this past Wednesday and Thursday. We had those meetings. We're going to have another one this Thursday. I'm going to talk to you about that. It's so important. But we're in the midst of that meeting, and there was this little baby that was just crying. It was so upset. And here's what I later learned about this little baby. The baby's name is Isabella. And I'll show you a picture of Isabella. Is that a precious little baby right there or what? And in case you don't know Isabella's story, Isabella spent the first 8 weeks of her life having to kick. She was having to kick a meth habit because she was born addicted to meth. And so all of her screaming and crying was overcoming something that adults have a hard time overcoming. And the whole time she had Colleen and Jimmy foster children. And as they foster children, they're fostering little Isabella. And by the time the meeting was over, Colleen came up to me, and she was just coming up to talk to me, and she had Isabella in her arms almost like that, except Isabella was asleep and just nestled up and snuggled into her. And I thought, man, what a beautiful picture of what we're called to be and what we're called to do, you know, as a people, as a church. And I love the way that it's spoken through Isaiah. Can a mother, God said this, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? It's almost inconceivable. Though she may forget, he said, I will not forget you. And so, guys, the sermon's not over, but there's an important pause here because I'm going to invite you to respond right now to what God's doing in each of us, because the first thing he wants to do is get it clear to us that providing a safe place in which to grow up and mature, a safe place not just physically but emotionally and spiritually, a place of family, a home is important. And he's saying right now, I just want you to know how much I love you. And if you have any doubts about that, if there's anything lacking, what I want to do is just spend a minute. I believe God just wants to spend a minute inviting you into family and just inviting you into relationship. And so if there's anybody here that grew up in a family and you didn't have that love, you didn't have the love of mother or father or one or both, or you've been in a place where maybe you had great parents, but you've been so far away from them and so far away from God, you feel like there's no hope. Or maybe you're a person who struggles as a parent and you're just in a place where you're exhausted and exasperated. Or maybe you're a person who's been obsessed with the nest and you've been all about the physical stuff and you're feeling like, God, you're calling me back to the importance of home. Maybe you're a person right now who feels like, God, you're pricking my heart to start caring about some children that need somebody to love them and care about them. Whatever it is, as we sing this song, I invite you to stand. I invite you to use this altar. I invite us to just spend a minute right now just remembering how much he loves us and committing our hearts to sharing that love with others. Let's stand together. It's over, but this moment isn't over. This moment isn't over. And in a minute, we're going to sit back down. But before we do, there's somebody here, either in this place or watching online, there's somebody here, and you're going, oh, God, I need to know that I'm loved. I need to know that it's not too late for me. I need to know that I can be your child. And the passage we read from the book of John says that he came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To receive him and to believe in his name means to say this: I accept and I receive the love that you have for me and the relationship you offer to me. But to believe in him means, from this point forward, I trust in, I cling to, I rely on him. And so like a child coming into their daddy and just saying, I trust in, I cling to, I rely on you. He's saying, that's what I want to be. I want to be your father and I want you to be my child. And so he said, when that happens, it's like you begin a new life now as my child. And it's like being born again. And babies don't run marathons. You know, they're like the little peepers in the nest with their little mouths open. And, you know, they're just being fed and they're being nurtured and they're being cared for. And God's just saying, today is your day. I want you to know it. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter how bad you've blown it. Doesn't matter who's blown it on you. Doesn't matter what's happened. Today, I want you to become my child. And as you become my child today, I want you to know that I will gently lead you. I'll love you. I'll strengthen you. I'll discipline you. I'll care for you. But you are mine and I'm yours. I'm your daddy. You're my child. And you will be mine forever. But count the cost. It means my life is now yours. Do you want to be adopted today? Do you want to be adopted today? If you want to be adopted today and you know it, I just want to tell you that it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And right now is your time to say to God, God, I'm just ready. I'm ready. I know that I need you. And so can you say to him, would you please forgive me? Can you say, I believe and understand that you willingly let your son die for me so I could be forgiven? And there's somebody here that maybe doesn't even understand that. Just listen, here's the truth. His own son, his only son, who never did anything but love, never did anything but right, willingly went to a cross, was crucified and separated from his father in that death so that you could have life, so that you could come and be adopted and become a child of God. And then he was raised from the dead, and he too now is at the Father's side, and he's saying, look, I want a relationship with you. I want a relationship with you. I gave my life for you. And so can you say to him right now, thank you. Thank you for that life you gave for me. Thank you for forgiving me. And now can you say, I'm ready for you to be my daddy and me to be your child. I am ready for you to be my God and me to be your servant. I'm ready to begin a new life following you, a new life trusting in and clinging to and relying on you. This is my day. I give this life to you in Jesus' name. You're my Father. Can you just call him? Can you call him daddy? Can you say, you're my daddy and I'm your child from now and forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, guys, it may be somebody who's at home online. It may be somebody in this place, and very likely it's somebody in this place. But if this was the beginning of your time, the beginning of your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus, we celebrate that every week. And we still got some time. We're going to go into the rest of the sermon. But right now, you're the most important person in the room. You are the most important person in the room. We're going to be talking about the fact that we're building a building and all kinds of cool things. We're going to talk about all that kind of stuff. But that isn't nearly as important as this. You're the most important person here. And you know what would happen? My wife came home and there was a nest in the front yard and there were these little baby birds scattered around the nest and no mom and no daddy, and they were just little brand new born babies and there was nobody caring for them. So they scooped them up and they took them to Ark Animal Hospital and they began feeding them and caring for them. But if you've just begun a relationship with Christ, you're like that new baby that you just need people to encourage you and love you. So I'm going to ask you to lift your hand in a minute. And after you lift your hand, we're just going to thank God for you. And before you leave here today, I'm just going to ask you to go over to that prayer booth and just let somebody know that, hey, I began it today. And let them be there to encourage you and strengthen you. All right? So if you did it today, don't you be ashamed. You just say, dang, this is my day. I want to celebrate it. Is there anybody over here that came out on a blustery day and this is my day, and this is the day that I gave my life to Him? Anybody over here? Anybody over here? How about anybody up there in the balcony? Is there anybody over there? One brave soul to lift up their hand. How about up in the balcony over here? Anybody up in here? This is my day. How about up in here? Now, how about down in here? Somebody in here. This is my day. No matter how long I've been coming to church, this is the day it all began for me. How about up there? Anybody? All right, how about over there? Just lift it up. All right, now how about down here? Anybody over here? This is your day. You just lift up. All right, now somebody online, we just want you to know this, and we want you to know it, that this is an important day for you, and we want you to reach out and let us know. There's a place for you to type in, I think, as you're sitting online right now. There's a place for you to send a message and just let us know that you've made that commitment today and you've taken that step today. So if you would do that, we're going to be celebrating that with you, and we thank God for you. Now, everybody else, let's be seated. Let me just tell you this. Here's the why. How many people know that what we just talked about was the most important thing that we ever do at Christ United? It's just the most important thing. That relationship with God is why we exist. Yeah, yeah. And we've learned that only saved people come out in blustery weather, but unsaved people don't. But here's the question you might ask is what did all this have to do? What did all this have to do with building a building? I mean, we're in a building campaign. Why did we do this sermon? And the reason we did this sermon is because what's most important is the relationships. The relationships are what matter. That's why we exist. And so we aren't going to put that on pause to raise money for a building. But when you think about that, I want you to remember this truth. The truth is building a safe place in which to birth and raise young to maturity, that's something that we do in families and homes, but it's also what God's family does, what the church does. The church builds a safe place in which to birth and raise young to maturity. So somebody online who gave their life to Christ today needs a place to connect to real people who love them and encourage them and strengthen them. I think we had like 5 people who gave their lives to Christ last week, and now they're in a body. They're in a relationships with people where they can grow them up into maturity. But when you see that word maturity, remember this. The nest is a place from which to fly. Yeah, the whole idea of what God had in mind when He created families initially was this. One of His first statements was, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. A man will leave his father and mother. He creates family so that we can have a place that's safe for us to grow up, and then we go out to create family. And that's something that's missing a lot today, is just the understanding that launching people into adulthood is important. And mamas, that's one of the most loving things you can do. As a matter of fact, one mama was asking James Dobson, when should I start letting go of my child? And he said, the day that they're born. They go from an umbilical cord to you preparing them to be separate from you so that they can start their own family. It's an extremely important part of the process. And so listen, we go from being nest dwellers to becoming nest builders. And every single one of us at one place is a nest dweller, and then we grow up to become a nest builder. In the kingdom, it's exactly the same. When it comes to his church and it comes to us in the body of Christ, God gives us this nest, this place, this context in which we can grow up into maturity. But we go from being nest dwellers to nest builders, where a place has been provided for us, and then we begin to help provide a place for other people. Somebody nurtured us, then we begin to nurture others. Does that make sense? You go from being nest dwellers to nest builders. And so with that thought in mind, we're building a nest for thousands. In the book of Acts, when God gave us this beautiful commission and told us to wait for His Holy Spirit to come, and when His Holy Spirit came, the early church was this beautiful picture of family. They're sharing meals together and loving each other and encouraging each other, and they became this family, a few thousand added in one day, and then the Lord added daily to their number those who were being saved in that place. And so He's saying, look, I'm creating in my church a place that becomes family. I'm creating in my church a safe place for people to grow up into maturity. But as you've grown up, then it's your turn to share that safe place with others, and it's your turn to nurture others in the process. And so, guys, when we circled around that land out there the other day, and we had a group of many of you standing in that circle saying, God, help us to build this building. It's not about the building. We don't want to become obsessed with the nest, right? It isn't the place that's important. It's what God's doing and going to do in that place. We're creating a context in which to create those safe relationships. How many people have ever seen one of the, well, you've probably never seen one of those birds before, because that bird is called a sociable weaver. Isn't that a cool name? Sociable. They look sociable, don't they? So those little guys, sociable weavers, are actually in Africa, and sociable weavers are cool and a little bit different than the average bird for this reason, is that when they nest, that's one of their nests. Their nest can weigh 2,000 pounds. They can be 30 feet long, 13 feet wide, 7 feet thick. They're just enormous nests, and as many as 100 little families of sociable weavers will live in one big nest. Every one of them have their own little home, but they're all the homes connected together. And guess what that means? That means that about 400 of them live in that thing by the time they have their young in there. And mamas and daddies are encouraging and helping each other so that while mom and dad are from one nest are out looking for food, another mom and dad are warding off snakes and doing stuff like that. And so they're all working in this together. That's such a beautiful picture of the early church. The early church, people had their individual homes, but God created this community, and this community in which other parents are supported, and those who didn't have parents were supported. And so the widows and the orphans were cared for, and God created this beautiful picture. And guys, we're building a home for ultimately thousands. And what we're getting ready to do, the step that we're taking, will take us from a place where we've been able to minister to somewhat over 1,000 people over these last number of years. This is going to open us up to where we'll be able to minister to about 5,000 people before we have to build anything else, because God's making a safe place in which to create to help move those people forward. So this is much like this, right? This building that we're building is this beautiful place to bring people together where there's safety and care. Now, I just want to tell you why we're building it. And I want to tell you it's what happens in it that matters. And listen to this. This was a letter, a text sent to me by a young lady, totally unprompted. She just sent this text to me. And I said, man, I got to share this. She said, I can't really tell you in a text or even in person for that matter how much this and all the other love that's been poured out on our family means to us. Y'all have loved us so good. I see God's love for us demonstrated in that He chose the safe and loving relationships at Christ United as the place to equip and grow our family. She said, yeah, you can give God a hand for that. That was beautiful. She then said, there is not an area of our lives that haven't been touched by the ministries of our church. from lovingly intervening when our marriage was in trouble to being an incredible support system through a job loss, helping us equip and disciple our sweet baby girl, and giving us a place to grow in our faith and serve. I am so excited and thankful to be a part of this ministry. It's one of my most treasured blessings. I want everyone to experience this kind of love. Matter of fact, I wish I could go back in time to 2011 and tell the old me that it's okay to dig in, that it's safe, and not to waste another minute being a spectator at church. I wish I could have lowered my guard and got in the game a lot sooner. And for the record, you can tell whoever you want how I feel about this place. Matter of fact, you can give them my number and I'll tell them. Her name's Nikki and that's her number. Actually, don't call that number. That is a bogus number. I don't know who that is, but I changed the number. I've chickened out. But here you go. Here's what Nikki is currently doing. Nikki is currently, she was nested in this place, and now she is reaching out to others as she is still in a place that's safe and in a place for love and caring. She told me this concerning relationships. She said, relationships are going to be messy. She said, I know that. She said, but when you come to a place that you love and people you love, you're willing to walk with them through the mess. And you know that it's going to be exactly what it is that God desires for you to have, relationship. And so listen, she is right now reaching out and loving and caring for others. Just this past week, she called a young mother in our church who doesn't have connection with other young mothers who are seeking to raise up their children to honor God. And so she's connecting with her and just loving her and encouraging her. She's actually helping to feed others. Now, how about you? How many people here are followers of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, fantastic. All right, now, how many of you are followers of Jesus Christ for at least a year? Raise your hand. At least a year. Fantastic. All right. Now, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. At least a year. How many of those of you with your hand up are also consider Christ United your home? Raise your other hand. This is my home. This is my church home. All right. Fantastic. Thank you. Stick them up. Now, that was kind of fun. Here's the question. As I want to know what you're doing, where you see yourself in this church, are you helping to nurture and grow up and mature others? Are you building into the lives of others? You've been fed. Are you feeding others? You've been provided a safe place and context. Are you providing a safe place and context for others? Others gave so that you could be cared for. Are you giving so that others can be cared for? And so here's the thing. The writer of Hebrews said, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. How many people know that sometimes this is what a church looks like? Right? And that's not just the choir, but that's the whole church. That's the whole church. Feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. You know? And here's the reality is, it's our human nature, isn't it? Our human nature is well, that's the reason I came here. It's a good nest. You know what I'm saying? And I get fed, and so that's why I'm here. But please hear this. A nest is a place from which to fly, right? That it's providing a safe place in which somebody can grow up into maturity. And so it's real important to hear this. I love the look on that red bird's face, like, would you quit? Grow up already, you know? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? But here's the thing. Just ask yourself the question, is that me? Is that me? In the context of church and ministry, is that me? I come to church on Sunday morning, I get fed. I go to life group and I get fed. But are you actually still walking through your life in a way that you hadn't recognized that God wants to launch you out? And so I just want you to think about this. Therefore, leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. He's saying, look, it's time for you to step into the game. I want to tell you that I've made a mistake, and I need to ask your forgiveness for it, because, you know, like a parent who keeps their children around, they don't want an empty nest, so they're constantly just providing for their children. As long as you stay, I'll just keep doing for you. They're crippling their children, right? I have this tendency to always say stuff like, hey, guys, it's not something we want from you. It's something we want for you. And who I'm always speaking to is the people who have not yet given their lives to Christ or those who are brand new in Christ. So I'm speaking to the little bitty babies, and I'm saying, look, I don't want anything to run you off. I want you to know that we aren't trying to get something from you. We want you to come into a relationship with Christ. We want you to be nurtured. We want you to be cared for. But a whole bunch of other people in the church hear that who have already been in Christ for a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years, and they go, oh, this is cool. Nobody wants anything from me. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's expecting anything of me. And I'm just saying that is so wrong. Because if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a follower of Christ for over a year, I just want to say, either plug in and start feeding and making a nest for somebody here, or go somewhere else where you can do that. But please don't continue to sit and just be fed. Does that make sense? Because it cripples you and keeps you from being able to be who it is that God called you to be and do what it is that God called you to do. And so, come on, let's leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. And so if you're a person who's not yet given yourself to that purpose, he's saying, this is exciting. This is an opportunity for you to fly. And so, fly. You know? Isn't that a cool picture? So, there's a scene that just says, there's a part where mama's, mama birds or daddy birds need to just say, come on now, get out, you know? I got to push you. You're afraid that you aren't going to be able to fly, but I know you can, so I'm going to push you a little bit. So, you mind if I push you a little bit? Can I get a volunteer? off the stage. Yeah, let's just push a little bit. Let me just say this. God's calling you to get into this game. God's calling you to go from being a nest dweller to being a nest builder, it's so important that you realize that there are thousands who need what you've been given, and it's now your opportunity to help provide that for them. And he needs for you to be a nest builder. Those little sociable weavers, as soon as they get big enough to get up and hop out of their nest, they're starting to learn how to build nests. And they're building nests for the next generation. Do you know that those sociable weavers' nests will last as long as 100 years? They know of those nests that have been there for 100 years. So generations of those birds grow and add and continue to be there. Do you know that what we're getting ready to do in the Unite Center will be here until Jesus comes back, likely? And it'll be touching lives and changing lives and providing a place, but God needs us to be a part of that. And so you need to be helping with building the nest. And your part's extremely important. Let me illustrate this in terms of getting you to kind of step up into maturity and step up and actually start ministering to others and caring for other little ones. How old do you have to be? How long do you have to have been a Christian before it's time for you to start taking care of others? Anybody got an idea? Let me tell you about this. How many people know who Jeannie and Carter Smith are? Y'all know who Jeannie and Carter are? Jeannie and Carter, they actually have a ministry, they're the founders of a ministry called Coastline Women's Center, which helps little children, mothers of little children that otherwise would be aborted, that they help provide counseling for those women and support for them. Well, they have their own little buddy. His name is Luke. And little Luke was back here in the back of the church, and they hadn't quite gotten him disciplined yet. He's probably about like 3 months old. And can't get him to be quiet while I'm preaching, so... She had to take little Luke out. She took Luke out and took him to the prayer room, which is right around the corner on the other side of the women's restroom over here. There's a little prayer room there. And so she was in the prayer room, and she said she was rocking Luke, and she was just praying. And as she was praying and rocking Luke, she had her eyes closed, and she said she felt a presence in the room. And as she felt the presence in the room, she said, it felt like maybe it's the presence of God, maybe it's something else. She said, I didn't even know if I could open my eyes, but she said, I kept feeling that presence getting closer to me. And she said, and finally I opened my eyes and looked up, and she said, there was a little 2 or 3 year old child, a little girl. And said, the little girl looked and said, baby. And then she said, can I pray for your baby? And then she said, yes, you can. And she said, that little 3 year old or whatever walked around and knelt down right in front of the cross in that prayer room and said, God is great. God is good. Thank you for this little baby. And then she just got up and walked out of the room. Is that awesome? Is that awesome? Yeah, you can give God a hand. It was beautiful. And she said, part of me was saying, like, these parents are awesome, you know, who raised this child to love God this way. But where are her parents, you know? It's like, what's going on here? And she said, part of me was wondering, was this an angel, you know, that came into this room, or is this a little child? But here's what I want you to take away from this, is this. A three-year-old praying for a newborn. It doesn't take It doesn't take much. This three-year-old knew more than the newborn. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like this three-year-old's already up, and I don't have to be in diapers anymore, and I don't have to have bottles, and I can start caring for someone else. And she's praying. Aren't you thankful that we're in a context where little children can grow up and mature like that? And God's just saying, I need you in that. So are you going to start helping to build? Are you going to start taking what God has given you and helping you? I want to tell you this. We need you. We need you to get this done. We've had these meetings last week. We wrongly named them, and this is to the family. I'm just talking to the family here. But we wrongly named the meetings informational meetings. Next week, we make a commitment to build this safe place. Next week, we make this commitment. So we said everybody needs to come to one of these informational meetings. I want to tell you the honest truth. I wouldn't have come. Informational meeting? You're kidding me. You know what I'm saying? I got all the information I need. I don't want to come. I just thought about it. That was a bad name. Here's what it actually was intended to be. It's actually intended to be a place where every single person who calls Christ United their home gets together, and we get to be exposed to. I've got a message to share with you that I believe is the most important thing that, it might be the most important thing I've ever said to our church family, just to our church family, about your part and the importance of your part and what God's going to do. It is so important. But you know how many of our folks came for those first two nights? Those first two nights, I think between the two of them, we had about 60 people. 60 people who came out of our entire church family. Because everybody figures somebody else is doing it, and you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah. Can y'all understand that we need you? And Thursday night at 6:30, we've got child care provided, right? It'd be worth you getting a babysitter, but we've got child care provided. It'd be worth you getting off work. It'd be worth you calling in. Don't call in sick. Be honest, you know. But it'd be worth you getting off work to be there. But Thursday at 6:30, are you already excusing yourself and saying, well, not me for whatever reason? I had one man tell me, he said, I'm going to be traveling on Thursday. But he asked, is there a way that I can get it? Actually, we agreed that we would get it online so that with him being out of town, he's still going to be able to catch that online through a video. But here's the thing. We need you. We need you to be a part of this. And some of you feel like you can carry very little of the load, and you're like these little guys, and you're saying, I can do a little piece. Your little piece is absolutely crucial. If every piece is absolutely crucial to what we're doing. Some of you can carry some bigger pieces, you know what I'm saying? And some of you can get in there and help build on a bigger level. But we need you to be a part of this, every single one of you, in the process. Final thing I want to say is this, and I love it. The nesting instinct is a sign that your family's about to grow. How many women here have ever had your nesting instinct kicking? Yeah. So mamas know. About month five or so, you just start being like, I got to get this place ready. Why? Because God's wired you to know you're getting ready to grow. I've been wondering why people have said to me over and over and over again about this building. I've never heard this many people confirming the same thing that I can remember in our church. People saying, now's the time. We've got to do this. 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 And I believe that that's part of God's nesting instinct saying, look, you're about to grow. And already, in case you don't know, our children's ministry is maxed out. And we've been essentially missing children for a decade that we could have reached because our children's ministry is already filled. But God's saying, I want to open it up because I want for you to be able to reach because I'm bringing you to a whole nother level. Now, this is going to be fun. Y'all ready? Oh, dag. I left my phone. Who's got a phone I could borrow? With a camera. I want a phone with a camera. All right. Thank you. All right. So I'm going to phone with a camera. How many people call Christ United home? Awesome. How many have already come either last Wednesday or Thursday? Not to a leadership meeting, but either last Wednesday or Thursday. How many people came last Wednesday or Thursday? Raise your hand. Thank you so much for coming. If you came last Wednesday or Thursday, there are only about 20 of you, but can y'all make some noise to let them know how important this is? Can y'all do that? That's pretty good, right? Thank you. Here we go. I want you to stand if you're coming Thursday night at 6:30. And I'm going to take your picture. How many are coming Thursday night at 6:30? Stand. I want you to look around you. Now, for all of you who are still sitting, I want you to see how many backs this burden is laid on. Look at how many people consider this their responsibility. And how many other little mouths there are going like, feed me, feed me, feed me. All right, I'm going to snap the picture. Is there anybody in here that I can make feel guilty enough to stand up? I want you to know I've got a picture of you standing or sitting, whichever one you do. No, I do not want to make anybody feel guilty for not standing, but I do want to say for those of you who are standing how important it is. I want to say this before I ask one more time for anybody else to stand. I want you to know that what we're sharing Thursday night is enormously important. Enormously important. It's one of the most important things that I've ever had to share with you. So if you can, I want you to be there. Now, for those of you who couldn't stand because you're working or what else, but you would stand and say, I will watch it online before next Sunday, I promise, I will watch it online, so we'll make sure it's online. If anybody would do that, I invite you to stand right now. Anybody who just says, I'll be there, thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, give a hand to those guys. Thank you. All right, in the middle, everybody standing who's going to either be there or watch it online, either one, fantastic. Thank you very much. And how about over here? Everybody standing who will either be there or watch it online? Thank you. The reason I'm taking your picture is we're going to have a little bit of snacks and we want to have enough for you, all right? So we're not only going to see you there, we're going to see how big you are, how much you would probably eat, all that kind of stuff, all right? Would everybody stand together? Everybody stand together. Let me give you your phone back. And if you don't mind, I'll get you to text that to me. Thank you. Thank you. Guys, how many people are thankful that God provided a safe place in which you to be bring to life and be growing up? Yeah, yeah. Anybody here who's all in, whether you're here on Thursday night or not, all in to say, God, I'll help provide a place for those who need a safe place. May God use us to build a safe place for people to be born, to come into new life in Christ, and to grow up into maturity and go out and provide a place for others. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.